Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like yourselves who overcome obstacles and bounce back from adversity to live life on purpose. Today's show is sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. So you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the Programs tab, click under Million Dollar Business Pathway to get started. So folks, are you guys ready for an amazing show today? Joining me, I have Dr. Latasha Holden. Let's give her a round of applause.
Yay!
Dr. Holden, how are you doing today?
I am awesome. Feeling great.
Awesome. I'm glad you're able to be here with us and enjoying this beautiful day before the storms hit down here in Atlanta and Charlotte, where we are, right?
I'm definitely going to have to get out. Because, you know, Atlanta, we get a little pebble of a snow. Everything shuts down. So I'm going to have to get out today.
That water, bread, and eggs, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me today. Hey, before we get started on the interview, why don't you tell us the latest that is going on with you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I've just released my life story, No Longer Lost, from homelessness to overcomer. Wow. And I also, I'm very big on being an effective leader. My thing is servant leadership. So I released my first book on leadership principles, the power of personal development.
I love it.
And it's kind of tells the steps that I took to stay level-headed when I was going through my adversity.
Yes. And then you have another book as well, right?
Well, I just released I have 13 books in all.
Busy
so, but the two that came out this year were those two books. I released my first comic book. You see the poster on the wall back there about 6 months ago. So this just been a journey. The last 12 years, just a summary, then I guess you'll break it down how it happened.
Yes.
Went from being homeless in the
streets. Don't tell your story yet.
I would just give us, okay. So, but that was the two books that came out this year.
Yes, well, I'm glad. You know what? First of all, let me say thank you very much for telling your story and have the courage to overcome it and your willingness to share it and to help other people as well. That's really big. We don't see that a lot. We don't see that enough in our society. People who are overcomers and willing to share those stories. So thank you for having the courage to share it and being an overcomer as well.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's get started since you already jump started. So what has been the biggest obstacle that you have faced, Dr. Holding?
I think for me, at that time, I was to be 35 years old, a Black woman in the major city of Atlanta, homeless. I had a GED at the time and I had very little work history. I was homeless with 6 children. That right there is probably the hardest thing I had to overcome. You know, the mental shift that had to take place was almost unbearable.
Wow. So tell us a little bit about what that looked like when you were homeless with 6 kids. 6 kids at the time, age 35. That's amazing. What were you guys staying at? Tell us a little more about that.
Well, I was, at that time, I had 2 kids in high school, 2 kids in middle school, 2 kids in elementary school. So I was spread thin. Yeah. But I just remember that I made a vow that to God, that, you know, and to myself, that the streets was not going to raise my 6 children, nor the jails was going to house them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you, Dr. Tom. I didn't really know what liberation looked like or freedom. I dropped out of school in the 10th grade, had 4 kids by the time I was 22.
Yes.
So to be put in this situation and how we became homeless, a painful domestic violent marriage ended. And so by the time that left, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what to do. But I just remember living in a boarded up house at Squatters, and I knew I had to do something to at least try to change the trajectory of my family's life. And that's when I decided to roll in school, to go back to the last place that I gave up. And I tell you, when I walked into college, I was shaking like a leaf. I didn't, you know, because I was the last time I was in anybody's school, I was 15.
Yes.
Now I'm 35 and homeless with these kids. But I had 12 eyes watching me, and I knew I had to do something.
Wow, that's a great perspective. You had 12 eyes watching you, and I love it. You know, and we often hear stories about being homeless. You know, my story, I faced the homelessness when I was a teenager, bounced around as a senior in high school. You were homeless with 6 kids. So oftentimes, we don't talk to people about the feelings that were associated. What were you feeling? What was the emotions that you were grappling with during that time? Talk to us about that.
Oh, my humiliation. I mean, you know, because although my kids, they were children, I did not have anything to offer my kids materially. Mm. You know, if it was just the late, you know, they still wanted the latest stuff. You know, for me, it was just a humiliation. But I just decided, because I was thinking about at that time, legacy and suicide. Like, you know, yes. I'm thinking about, well, they'll be better off without me. You know, I was the black sheep of the family. Everyone is laughing at us.
Yes.
And no one would help. I think, you know, by me dropping out of high school at such a young age and had so many children, my family members never really, and probably me too, I just never really, no one never really saw me really making anything on my life. Sure. You know, statistical wise on paper, we was doomed. I mean, I'm just keeping it real, you know, and if God did not step in, but I did something to save my six children from the gangs, the drugs. And I'm going to tell you, Dr. Tom, I was scared out of my mind because I had to be so vulnerable to my children that I came to them with the only thing that I possessed. And I said, well, I don't have a lot to offer you guys materially. All I have to offer you is to love you unconditionally. And yes. I want to teach you guys how to serve. And, wow. and they was like, Mom, what are you talking about? We don't have anything. How can we help somebody else? And I said, I know, but if I can show you guys how to give back now, I believe I've given you a strong foundation to build on to become great leaders.
Wow, that's awesome. Yes.
Dr. Tom, out of that, to my right today, I'm still blown away because they was grumbling and complaining. I'm like, I was so embarrassed. I'm like, Lord, it's on. But I have the newspaper clippings where we did events in the community, about 4 or 5 events. And to my surprise, my children, one by one, everybody's 18 and over now. My 31-year-old came to me, his senior in high school, and he said, Mother, by what you showed me, my way of giving back is joining the United States Marine Corps.
Wow.
He just served 10 and a half years. He's medically retired. Now he's a second year college student. My other son became a caretaker. A daughter said, my oldest daughter came and said, Mom, my way of giving back is going to the medical field. She's an EMT, licensed pharmacy tech. And she's in her third year of college. And then another daughter said, Mom, my way of giving back is going to the human service field. She joined the United States Army 3 years ago and she graduated last year with her bachelor's and she's about to enter a master's program. My 19-year-old is now 14-time published author, youth speaker, spoken word artist, and my 18-year-old son, Omega. Omega is the last to end, Dr. Tommy. There's no more coming after him.
That is awesome.
Omega's awesome. A senior in high school, yeah.
Great job and kudos to your kids. For following in the footsteps of Mom. You set a great example. I thought you were going to say he was a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, which is my fraternity. But hey, being named Omega, he got to be a great guy there as well, though. So that is awesome, though. So I definitely appreciate you sharing that. And your kids, man, it sounds like they're doing some amazing things. They're going to continue to do some amazing things. We'll be watching for them in this world as well. You know, so what were some of the, as you were going through this, Dr. Holden, what were some of the strategies you used to kind of cope with where you didn't become depressed and give up? What are some of the strategies you used to kind of cope with this situation there?
I mean, the journey got hard. I mean, it got so hard. I remember walking to a hospital here in Riverdale, Georgia, because I mean, I'm an ordained minister, so I often pose the question, what happens when your struggle outlasts your strength?
Well, that's good. You know, I love that.
You know, we all can go through something for a couple of months, but what happens when it becomes years?
Yes.
And it seemed like no help is in sight. So for me, 4 years, about that second and a half, it started to whale me. I didn't know what to do. And I got tired. So I walked into a hospital here in Riverdale, Georgia. And I told the lady at the desk, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to, you know, be here. She said, ma'am, are you saying you want to commit suicide? I said, yes, ma'am. They admitted me to the hospital for a week for observation. I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't know God. But when they admitted me for a week in the hospital, they had a padded room on that floor. And I remember going to the lady at the desk. I said, ma'am, can I go into that room? She said, ma'am, you're no threat to anybody. I said, I know, but I need to go into that room. Dr. Tommy, for the week I was there, I would go into that room once a day, drop down to my knees and cry out, God, are you there? Please help me. I don't have anything. Now, when they released me from the hospital, although my situation did not immediately change, I knew something was different.
Wow.
And from that point, that's when I just matriculated through college with my associates, my bachelor's, my MBA. But when I got accepted into the PhD program, now I did want to bungee jump up to heaven.
Yes, that's right.
High five, my man.
And that is beautiful. And that is awesome. That is amazing. You know, I'm inspired just sitting right ready listening to you as well, though, Dr. Holden. And I mean, that is beautiful. And I appreciate your transparency.
Yeah.
I appreciate the process that you're sharing with us in terms of, I love that statement, you know, when your struggles outlast your strength, because oftentimes, man, we go through stuff and sometimes we come to that place where, hey man, I don't know what else to do.
Is that?
Yeah. I don't know what else to do. So that's when our faith really kicks in. You know, I've had the honor of interviewing a lot of people on this podcast, and the common theme I would say over and over again, when each of them have come to places where their strength couldn't outdo their situation, the struggles, their faith kind of kicked in big time.
It kicked in, yes.
So that is amazing, and kudos to you for doing that. So as you were going through this, Dr. Holden, did you have any mentors or guides who were sharing with you or trying to impart into you during this time?
No, I didn't. So what I did was I chose three women that I wanted to emulate as I didn't really know what God was doing, but I chose three women. I chose Coretta Scott King, Felicia Rashad, and Michelle Obama.
Okay.
And so I because I didn't have mentors, I didn't have no one that say, look, she's trying, let's help her out. I just chose three women that became my silent mentors, you know? And so I just studied them. I watched them, how they carry themselves, how they dress, and so that's what helped me morph into the woman I am today. I just watched these three women that just, I felt a little part of each one of them, I knew I wanted to emulate in some way.
But that's a beautiful strategy. And for the folks out there, if you can't get your hands on a mentor, that is a great way to kind of get advice. Go seek out, you can follow people on social media and find out their journey, find out their blueprint, and put it in part of your life as well. And you can do the same thing. So, you know, Dr. Holden, as you were going through this, what kept you motivated on your darkest day and not wanting to give up? Because you said suicide was an option or keeping going. What kept you motivated when you were at that crossroad of contemplating suicide?
You know, I realized no one's gonna love my kids, you know, like I would, you know, and I have three boys and three girls. So for me, at first I was just fighting for them. I was like, look, whatever happened, I gotta show them not to give up. And one thing I wrote in my leadership book, what prompted me to write that, because until you are tested at your lowest, you really can't really say how you're a leader or how you lead. It's easy to lead from when you're on top.
Yes.
But when my back was against the wall, my kids saw me depressed. They saw me crying in the midnight hour. I also exemplified leadership traits where I wasn't gonna sell myself out to get money. We struggle, we're gonna struggle. We just gonna have to roll it on together, you know? Yes. And so for me, I think God was building me in the fight. And he had to. I was somebody that for me to drop out in the 10th grade and have four kids by 22. Now looking back, the wilderness, the crucible, for me was necessary.
Wow.
In order for him to take where he's taken me, I ran for city council in 2017. So the steps he's been unveiling as I'm going along in my process, but I often tell people God did not magically change my life. I had to be a willing participant in my own deliverance.
Absolutely. And well said. Amen. Amen. I'm about to come to your church when you get that church going there. So Dr. Holden, as you went through this situation and you look back now, how would you say that situation changed you?
I look at life different. I used to tell my kids, or even now we do leadership talks. I might once a week, we do leadership talks. And I just used to tell them while we was homeless, and I used to sit, wait for class to start and, you know, or just sit at the gas station and be reading and studying. I never saw a U-Haul following a funeral procession line.
That's right.
So it taught me how to keep things in perspective. Look, we're going to leave here one day. So it taught me how to be humble, how to really enjoy the process. You know what? I put my blinders on, Dr. Tommy.
Yes.
I didn't look to the right, to the left. I did not look to see who was doing well. I just kept my blinders on and focus. And so nothing in my life was really planned. I think the more I trusted God, I didn't plan, I'm home, I'm going to run for city council, I'm going to write a book. I think the more I trusted God, the more my purpose of inspiring and fighting and advocating for others began to unravel.
Yes, that is beautiful. And for the folks listening out there, keeping the blinders on, you know, when people ask me, how did I make it through a lot of stuff I made through, Dr. Holden, I told them, I just kept my head down. I just kept going. I didn't entertain my emotions. I didn't look around to see who was doing what, who wasn't doing what. I just kind of kept my head down and just said, let me take this one step. I'm about to get hit again.
Yeah.
If I can just get back up again and take another step, I'll keep going. It sounds like that's what you were doing on this journey.
That's exactly what I was doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that is beautiful.
You look, when you're at your lowest and you start to look at how far everybody else is, and or you paying attention to the ones that's laughing at your family members that thinking you're crazy because you're trying to go to school, you're homeless, yes. You got all those kids. So I learned the art of discipline.
Yes.
I remember one of my undergrad professors told the class that the world belongs to those who are disciplined. So homelessness taught me how to be disciplined. So that's why within 10 years, I was able to go from being homeless to running for city council, from a GED to a doctorate in leadership studies, and wrote 12 books because I had learned the art of discipline.
Well, that discipline has really paid off for you big time.
Yes.
You know, so when you reflect back today, sitting here as Dr. Latasha Holden, what would you do differently? Anything you'd do differently?
You know what? To see where my kids are at and the lessons, I don't think so. I don't think so. Had it not been for that, it hurt like heck. To change your mind, the mentorship was almost just as hard as being homeless.
Yes, yes.
Because if I'm 35, I live with a poverty mindset, a limited belief mindset for so long.
Yes.
So for me to start believing what God is saying and doors are shutting and family members not helping it, I'm being rejected over and over by man, and I'm just pushing. I'm crying. I'm humiliated. I'm like, man, what am I doing? Nothing seemed to be working. But the more you kept going, it's almost like when you first work out, you kind of sore. But the more you keep going to the gym, yes. You're kind of strong. And the more I started, just kept going, the more stronger I became.
Well, that's absolutely beautiful and amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, Dr. Holden, we have a lot of folks out there who are either currently facing challenges or have been through challenges or will be facing some other challenges in this new mm-hmm. year as well. Some of those challenges may be homelessness. Some of them may be, you know, unemployment. Some of them may be relationships, broken relationships, financial. What advice would you give those folks to get beyond that challenge and to keep going and come out on the other end?
Well, first I would say first of all, you got to always have in mind, no one's coming to save you.
Yes.
I mean, I would, and not, that's not to say God won't send people along your journey to aid you, but ultimately it's your responsibility to just, what my thing is, you deserve to be here just like the next person.
Yes.
You're going to have to just fight. I'm not a fighter. So for me fighting, you know, I'm a peacemaker. I was, you know, but when it comes to the hard time, just know he's preparing you for something.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we want to be in a situation where we're telling people how to get out of stuff that we never walk,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, and I think for whoever's going through, just look, whatever's going to come up, even me now, when I've been interviewing, they're like, hold on, how you handle, you know, when COVID first went, you know, when we first went on lockdown.
Yes.
I said, well, you know, as you probably know, Dr. Tommy, when you've been through some stuff, you know, your faith on built to a certain level. Okay. You know how to roll, you know right. how to keep going, you
That's
know?
Right.
All right. Well,
right.
When you haven't been homeless, you haven't been to the bottom
right.
of the bottom. So
if I lose it, I'm good. Yeah, right.
I'm good. Oh, I know how to make it. Oh, go get me some noodles. Go get me, you know.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, if you have to go without some name brand clothes, you get into survival mode until God brings you back out where you're thriving.
Yes.
I think if we don't get caught up trying to be what society tells us, a lot of people probably can handle life situations a little better.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because you get so caught up what your friends going to think, what your family members going to think. But when you realize, I tell you this, Dr. Tommy, there's nothing today that I would sacrifice my relationship with God for to get ahead.
That's right.
If it don't happen, it just ain't going to happen.
That's right.
You know, even when I ran for office and I was presented with offers of, hey, you know, we can go out. I know a couple of people now, brother.
Yeah.
Now, because I know how you start a thing, you're going to keep doing that to keep that thing going.
Yes.
And if God brought me this far, I'm good. If I don't win the election, I don't win. You
That's
know,
right.
so but you know, you start having morals about yourself. You're like, if God don't do it, it just ain't gonna get done.
That's right. That is beautiful, man. I love it. You know, character means everything, you know, especially when it comes to leadership as well. You know, so Dr. Holden, if people out there want to get a hold of you, you got a website?
Yes.
Social media? Tell us about that.
All right. So all of my books are available on my website, www.drlatarshaholden.info, I-N-F-O. If you want to reach me by email, if you say you're ready for some coaching sessions, it's latarshaholden@yahoo.com. Or you can call us, and my assistant would definitely set up an appointment at 404 838-9587. And I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and Twitter. But Twitter's probably my least platform that I'd be on, but I'm on there.
She's everywhere. So if you're looking for a great coach, great speaker, you cannot go wrong with Dr. Latasha Holden. So Dr. Latasha, we talked about some serious matters. We're going to have some fun now, all right?
Okay.
We're going to switch things over. This is the part of the show we call rapid fire purpose questions, all right?
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yes.
Get some water. You need water? quick jab of water. So I'm going to shoot off a number of questions for you. I'm not going to elaborate on the questions. We just want to hear your best answer, okay?
Okay.
And they're all around purpose, all right? So Dr. Holden, how have you turned a dream into reality?
Overcoming the odds.
Yeah. What gives your life meaning?
Humanitarian work.
If money wasn't an issue for you, what would you do with your time?
Travel doing humanitarian work.
What verb best describes you?
Compassionate.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Simon Said, the little game.
Simon Said, okay. That's a good one, okay. All right. What do you wish you had more time to do?
wish I had more time to do. Well, since everybody's grown now, and I'm just 48, so everybody's 18 and over, I'm looking forward now to going out and exploring the world a little bit more.
Okay, awesome. Love it. Yeah. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Oh, my goodness. 15-year-old self. It wouldn't be imagined, honestly, because I dropped out of school at 15.
Yes.
So I would have shocked my 15-year-old self if she was to see me today.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Shake her up, right?
Yeah.
If you had to teach something, what would you teach other people?
I'm big on personal development.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Who inspires you the most?
Felicia Rashad.
Okay. What would be something that our audience would be surprised to learn about you?
I am terrified of dogs and cats. I will make a hole in your wall if I come to your house and you do not tell me you got a dog in there.
And cats as well, huh?
Yes, sir. You better tell me because I'll come out. I already knocked myself out one time running from a dog.
What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
My dream place to always travel was Italy.
So. Okay, good. What will you spend your time doing no matter what?
Reading. I'm an avid reader. Okay. Yeah.
What would you like your grandchildren to say about you?
Oh, well, what they say now, they think I'm a celebrity. My 9-year-old grandson just became an author, but they think I'm famous because they see me on the magazines. And so now my children's children are doing, I'm like, wow.
I love it. You set the tone for it. Yes. If you were a superhero, what would your power be?
Fly. Fly.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I were to walk through your home right now, what would it reveal to me that you love doing?
Love? Books are everywhere.
Books everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you love learning about?
Leadership. How I can be the best. I'm big on leadership and spirituality.
Mm-hmm. What sparks your creativity?
When I'm writing or when I did my comic book, sending out positive messages. I just want to create whatever I do. My thing is sending out positive messages. And so I was excited when I did the comic book.
I love it. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
the first law, free education for everyone.
Great. That's a good one. I love it. Yeah. Take off my student loans.
I know, right?
If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be?
If I could follow someone around, Michelle Obama. Okay.
What do you love doing for others?
Serving.
Okay.
Serving.
What's the best gift someone's ever given you?
Okay. Well, the best gift for me is when I was chosen as Georgia Mother of the Year last year. That to me, that award. It's like, you know, Dr. Tommy, you know when you leave your job after 30 years, they give you a gold watch or they give you a plaque? That, I think that God gave me.
Wow.
That was his way of saying, well done.
Wow, I love it. What if you have never been afraid to do? What's the one thing you've never been afraid to do?
Go up to strangers and just start talking. I just want to be nice to people. Let them know that people see them. Because I know what it feels like when everybody looks the other way. Yes,
that's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
A moment from my childhood. Just always been a loving kid. I was the kid that always wanted to be the child friend who was being bullied. You know, or who was, so I always had a thing for the outcast, the rejected. Yeah.
Yes, I love it. What does success look like for you?
Success looks like for me, freedom to be who I am without worrying about nothing nobody else say. I live it unapologetically.
Yes, I love it.
Yes.
For the people who know you best, what would they say that your life purpose is?
Oh my goodness. The people who know my sister, my kids, they will say my life purpose is my mom always into something. They're volunteering doing something. That's what my sister say, girl, time I look, you doing something.
A heart for giving back. I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
What are you most grateful for?
I'm most grateful that God has allowed me to see, especially in this day and time, all of my children 18 and over. That's a lot of parents can't say that. And I have never had to visit the jails, the gangs, had no problem with my kids on drugs.
Yes.
So for me to have not witnessed that in a situation that we was most vulnerable,
yes,
I'm definitely most grateful for that.
Yes, and that's a testament to you and your leadership as well.
Yes.
Yeah. What's the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
Man, live your life. They're gonna talk whether you're doing good or doing bad.
Yeah, that's right.
They talk, you know what I'm saying? They that's talk right. about me and I'm about that running for my family. All right. God, I'm doing good now. So I'm like, you know what? Since y'all gonna talk, let me just keep doing what I'm gonna do.
Right. And yeah. I'm gonna give you something to talk about. I'm gonna give you something to
talk exactly.
about. Exactly. Last question. How do you want to be remembered in history?
I want to be remembered as somebody who used their life to make it better for others.
Wow, I love it. And you are doing that. Thank Dr. Holder, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Hey, so as we get to wrap things up, Dr. Holder, any last piece of advice to our audience out there around resiliency and purpose? Any advice for them?
Oh my goodness, resiliency. Just don't fight the process. God definitely knows what he's doing. He's mm-hmm. taking you to a different level. You just have to trust him enough to go through the process.
Yes.
And my thing is, we'll be lying. Dr. Tommy can agree with this. Would it hurt? Of course.
Yes.
Is it going to be painful? Of course. And if you're going to think you're not going to lose friends on your way to the top, you need to think again.
That's right. That's right.
Everybody want the crown, but don't want the cross.
That's right. Look at there. Hey, boy, if you're looking for a coach or a speaker, you better tap into Dr. LaTarsha Holden. Again, where can they get a hold of you at, Dr. Holden?
They can reach me at my wealth site. It's a form that you can send it, fill out on there at www.drlatarshaholden.info. Or you can reach me. My assistant would definitely get back in touch with you at 404-838-9587. Or you can send us an email at latarshaholden@yahoo.com.
There you have it, folks. The Georgia Mother of the Year.
Yes.
That is awesome. So if you have a great story of being an overcomer out there, if you know someone who has an overcoming story, I want you to go to our website, tawatson.com. Fill out the form. We would love to have you on. Consider you as a guest for our show. Please subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode. Review it. Share with your folks on social media. And again, we're looking for more and more sponsors out there as well. So again, we thank you all very much. Dr. Holden, I can't thank you enough, man. You inspired me today. I'm fired up and I'm ready to go.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Tommy.
Absolutely. Two homeless people sitting here as doctor. Yeah. That's
ain't
amazing.
That Dr. Tommy, what'd you get your doctorate in?
So I have a doctor of education leadership.
Okay. So I don't know. Who knows? You know, that's the way God is using us to make an impact.
Yes.
On the lives of others.
And like you said, sometimes the best leaders come from the bottom.
How you gonna tell me how to get somewhere you ain't never been there? I mean, I'm sorry. You can't tell me how to come from home, because I think the world is getting tired of people who've never really, we're in such a place of weariness and don't know what's gonna happen. We need somebody to say, look, I've been there. I literally been there. Let me walk you through it. Let me encourage you through it. So
that's right. So folks, you got a great coach, a great mentor, you got a great speaker, whatever you're looking for, Dr. LaTarsha Holden is your person you need to be contacting. Again, everyone, thank you very much for today. Love you. God bless. Peace.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.